Once again, good morning and kalimera sus. You are tuned to WNTN Radio, WNTN.com. Grecian Echoes on a Tuesday morning. I'm Teddy Dimitriadis, and this morning I'm also joined by Michael Giannetti. And we have joining us on the telephone Manny Frangidakis with our weekly market update. All our other friends have left, so it'll be me and Mike and Manny this morning. Manny, good morning, kalimera, and we continue to say Christos Anesti to you.
Good morning, kalimera, Christos Anesti. I hope everyone's doing well today.
We are doing just fine.
Good morning, Manny.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Great to speak to you.
Yeah. So, listen, a very active market this week, Manny. We'll defer to you.
I don't know if I would say active, because if you've seen what the volume has been in the market for the last couple of weeks, it's actually, you know, dropped through the basement. So only a few stocks are kind of leading this move, whether it's to the upside or the downside. But we're at a very important inflection point. We've always talked about earnings potentially being the other shoe to drop the market, and you're in the process of seeing that play out. You had UPS this morning deliver a pretty bad number. They're down about 8% this morning. They were down closer to 11% after their initial release, and that stock is back to where they were during the October lows. You've got CPI coming next week. You've got GDP later this week. You've got the payroll number next week. You've got the Fed meeting next week. And then you're about to start to see a slew of tech earnings. So you'll have Microsoft and Alphabet after the bell today. And then you will be followed with Amazon and Meta later this week. So, you know, this is going to be a pretty tumultuous time, in my opinion. And I think it's going to make for one, you know, very exciting first week of May, to say the least.
And the way those Amazon and Meta, you can only expect they're going
to
go down.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's expecting these numbers to go in the positive upwards direction.
No, correct. I mean, and the other kicker here is where does this leave us at the end of this and looking out, you know, 6 months? And I think that it opens the door to potential downside risk from the perspective that the market is currently still pricing in rate cuts this year. We fundamentally do not believe those are going to be able to be delivered. And I think that when the market is disappointed, you could see a substantial drop here in the markets over the next coming weeks. At the same time, I think inflation is continuing to be persistent in different parts of the economy, as we're paying attention to. And I think that the Fed will hike next week by 25 basis points. The market is expecting them to pause after that before opening the door to rate cuts. You know, my gut tells me that we could be looking at a few more rate hikes after this, that we potentially haven't taken enough pain to really erode out this inflation problem. Because even right now, as you stand, I mean, you're pretty much almost in a bull. None of this really makes sense. There's not a lot of clarity, but you're almost at a level of a new bull market, which if you take it by definition, it's 20% off of, you know, off of the lows that you previously made. And, you know, year to date, the S&P is up 17%, trading at 19 times earnings ratio. That is not what you would expect when you're teetering on recession.
Well, of course, you know, Biden announced he was going to run. Usually that doesn't have a lot of, it really doesn't affect too much. But with the way everything's going, there can't be much confidence in him. I mean, the polling numbers are way down, but it can't be much confidence in the economy the way everything's gone the last 2 years, correct?
Depends on which polling agency you read, Mike.
Yeah.
I could tell you that I was looking at polls yesterday that have Biden massively outperforming Trump and DeSantis. So I don't know.
But in his own party, he's not. In his own party.
Yeah, within his own party.
They don't.
Within his own party, but from a national public standpoint, he's not.
Right.
And who else is that party going to put forward?
Yeah, they got nobody really.
So, and here's what I will tell you. It is far too early to tell.
Of course. Yeah.
Far too early to tell. We're going to hear multiple different narratives by the time this election gets front and center stage for most people.
Yeah. And one other thing while we're on Biden. Did that thing go through with the you get penalized if you do the things right, your credit scores and everything?
Yeah. Any effects on the banks as a result of that?
So, basically what they're saying is I've done everything right. I've paid my bills. I've done everything. I've got a great credit score. I go for something, I get penalized for it, correct?
You mean like a credit check?
Yeah, you know what are they saying that the
So if you this has always been the case. So like if you go open a new credit card, mm-hmm. when they're looking at your credit to determine whether you are a worthy applicant or not, your credit automatically gets pinged. So as soon as you have a look-in window of what you're trying to achieve, you already have a report out against you, which is a negative against your credit score. So that's always been the case.
Okay.
And that's just simply for the inquiry, even if...
It's just for the inquiry, right? Because if you have two or three out there, someone's being like, okay, what's this about?
Right, but isn't there a stop gate where it's only, you know, one or two? Oh, listen, this guy's shopping out for a new car. He's putting an application out. I mean, isn't there any way that can be controlled? I mean, it's almost unfair, it seems. That's all I'm trying to make a point of.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm not the one missing the rules either, Teddy, so I'll find out where it's going to happen.
Well, who else am I going to blame, Manny? Mi più nalo tata valo.
You can ask, don't blame.
Manny just has to work around all these rules.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, you bring up the banks. I mean, here's the other kicker is that First Republic reported earnings and they massively missed on the deposit levels that most people thought. And that stock's down again another 20%. So you continue to see banking woes playing out in the economy, but not to the level that everyone expected and what we agreed with. We said that, you know, this was plugged up a few weeks ago. We still continue to believe that's the case. But because of that, does that make the Fed believe that they need to break something out? That is the dangerous game that they're playing here, and they truly are stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Wow.
Yeah. On a local banking note, I heard this morning that Santander was shutting down, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 banks just in our, you know, eastern Massachusetts area. And they're saying just a complete lack of needing the, you know, the physical bricks and mortar. Everybody's doing things online. You know, these
of course, everyone's utilizing mobile banking.
Big time. Big
I mean,
time.
Unless you need a personal financial statement or something for some other, you know, endeavor to be able to show in terms of records, I can't imagine why many people are still going to the bank unless, you know, it's an older demographic that enjoys, you know, cashing in their checks and seeing their receipts.
Of which I'm one, to be honest with you. I enjoy my weekly visit to the bank. You know what I mean? I'm not in the cash business. When I need cash, I go to the bank and, you know, I write a check out for a few a few hundred bucks and I got some greenbacks in my wallet.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I'll be honest, for me, the only time I ever go to a bank is if I'm depositing cash.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, if I need cash, I just put it in my Venmo account or...
Put it in something like that. Yeah. I'm not quite there all the way, although your younger generation is...
I mean, I have I'll get cash, but I mean, if I keep some in reserve in Venmo and just pay it. Yeah. Or you just pay Venmo and it goes on your credit card.
Yeah. Manny, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but in general, a lot of these banks, I know a lot of these, you know, they actually own the physical real estate that the bank is held in, you know. I mean, I live in Scituate and I do most of my banking. It was the Scituate Savings Bank. It got bought out by Coastal. But they own, you know, they own this beautiful piece of property. I'm going to say total between office space, you know, 3,000-4,000 square feet, of which right now they need about, you know, 200. You know, it shows up in the bank's portfolio, but some of these larger banks that just own all this property, what's the benefit of them leaving if they own the property? That they're going to liquidate and just, you know, put it into the bank? Is that something that's happening as a result of?
Is it something that's happening? That's probably on an individual bank level, Teddy. Some banks own their own property. Some people lease. I mean, it just depends on what your business model is.
Yeah.
But I can tell you it's an attractive asset to keep on your balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a perfect example. When we went into Macy's a few years ago, when everyone thought that, you know, the stock was trading at ridiculously low levels and people thought they were going to go bankrupt,
mm-hmm.
our initial play on it was the fact that their real estate alone was worth $12.1 billion,
mm-hmm.
and that the market cap for the stock was significantly less than that. So even if they had to go liquidate and sell all their assets, investors would be better off for it buying that stock at that given price. Now it massively turned around, went into the 40s, and we sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But having real estate on the balance sheet can be extremely attractive for lending purposes as companies are looking to grow market share and retain and attract key talent.
Yeah. Do you know offhand, you know, some of these acquisitions, are they buying the bank? Are they buying the actual physical asset? You know, Belmont Savings Bank, another one for years, you know, beautiful locations, that building in Belmont Center. You know, we can go on and on and
on. They're buying the assets. They're buying the deposits. They're buying the book of clients.
And they're also buying the property too, Manny, for the most part? All of it?
If it's part of the deal. depends on how it's structured. I mean, depends. Everything is individual. You can't look at it as one, you know, this is how everybody's doing it. Yeah. It's not the case. Yeah. You know, if it's a family-run bank, maybe the family sells their banking industry off and keeps the real estate for the family.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it changes case by case.
You know, it's crazy to me, Mandy. Like, I ever drive up Route 1, you'd see that big Amazon warehouse that they built, and they're not even going to use it. And then I was reading that they're cutting back. You remember they wanted to go into the food chains?
Yeah.
And they're cutting back. I mean, it's crazy what's happened to them, right, that they dropped so far?
I mean, I don't think it's crazy, because what ends up happening in the world when interest rates are at zero and there's no cost of capital is you can grow into infinity.
Yeah,
and
you
can price out your earnings 100 to 200 years out. And cost of capital means nothing to you because your interest rate is like 0.01. So it allows you to grow without taking on significant risk. And this is exactly what happened in this economy for the last 6-7 years. You had tech companies that were hoarding labor.
Sure.
Look at how much Apple's has expanded over the last couple of years. And people are shocked to hear that Apple hasn't grown its revenue in 8 years. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest weakness in the market right now is Apple.
Wow.
Which is fun. Which is crazy for a lot of people to hear and think. But it truly is.
Yeah, you never
making
think of
at
that.
This point, you know, making at this point over almost 8% of the overall index is just Apple.
Wow.
You know, you've never really seen companies that have held that title that have really persisted and survived over the long run because they just can't keep up with the valuations that they're getting attached to.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very interesting. Very interesting. Anything else?
So that's my message for my message here is we've been saying it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're still hanging into big cap tech right now. Get big cap tech. I would be looking to get off and at a minimum take chips off the table prior to any of these earnings releases, because with the S&P 500 sitting here at around 4150, our top projected trading range was 4100. So we're already north of that.
Whoa.
Could you get to 4200? Yeah, but I just think that continues to open up even further downside risk. So in my opinion, you have maybe 50 points of upside potential here and all the way down to 500 to 700 points of downside risk.
Yeah.
You know, we hope we keep that 3,700 level. If not, we will go test those October lows at 3,500. And if that's the case, I'd rather have dry powder and be able to buy great companies at phenomenal prices versus stick around here and hope that the valuation makes sense within the next couple months.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Manny Frangidakis brings it to us on a week-by-week basis, because that's how often things change. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis. Michael, Manny, thank you very much.
Thank you, Manny.
Closing comments.
Give
us a little Bruins Celtics action. We're going to have two wins. We're going to bring it home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. It's the first round. If they didn't make it past this, I mean, what a terrible season for both of them.
Yeah. Well,
the Florida Panthers, I don't think, can match up with the Boston Bruins, and I don't think the Atlanta Hawks can match up with the Boston Celtics. So it's just a matter of who do we see later on in the playoffs.
Especially tonight where just DeJounte Murray got suspended.
Yeah, he got suspended.
Well,
yeah.
And the good thing for the Bruins, to be honest with you, is, I mean, if I was them, I wouldn't play Bergeron.
I wouldn't play him.
I said that last game. I said that last game. Everyone's like, why is he sitting again? It was because you don't need him.
Right. You don't need him right now. You don't need him. Let him rest up. Save him another round.
You're proving you can beat Florida without him.
So keep him on the keep him well rested.
Save him for the next round.
Manny, have a good day, Aguarimo. Great talking to you. We'll
Thank
regroup
you
next week.
Likewise.
That's it.
All right,
okay.
Well.
Manny.
You.